Hello, fellow Rebel Capitalists. I hope you're well. Breaking news. As most of you have heard, the mask mandate for airlines, the majority of them in the United States, is done. Game over. Put a fork in it. The insanity is temporarily over. We'll see how permanent it is. And when I say insanity, I'm just talking about the fact, as most of you know, they had this mask mandate. But yet, if you're eating or drinking, well, then you don't have to wear a mask, as if COVID would just kind of take a time out and say, oh, well, you're eating? Oh, and that, well, that's not fair. I can't spread when you're eating. I mean, that wouldn't be right. And I can't, you're having a drink of your cocktail for 4 hours? Oh, well, yeah, of course, I'm not going to spread then. I'll just stay here in your nose. But as soon as you stop drinking that rum and Coke, you better put on that mask, because then I'm going to run out of your nose and spray everywhere and get as many people as infected as possible. So it's just, again, they were forcing us to live in their fantasy world of paranoia and hypochondria, and just ignoring what's right in front of their eyes, that what they're doing is utterly ridiculous. You have to wear a mask in an airport, but yet every single restaurant you walk by, obviously they're not wearing a mask. They have to eat, so that's okay. But you can't walk without a mask. I mean, obviously this makes absolutely no sense, but for some reason people just, oh yeah, it makes me feel safe. But again, it's like Shapiro says, you know, the facts really don't care about your feelings. or it's like our last video where the facts aren't going to, or the feels aren't going to keep you warm at night. All the tears that you're going to cry over polar bears, that's not going to heat your house. And this is just what most people don't understand. I think it's more pervasive in our society today, far more than when I was growing up, this need to just feel good. It doesn't matter if it doesn't make sense. It doesn't matter if it's irrational. As long as it makes me feel good, and that's what's most important. I mean, that's pretty much Whole Foods' business model, isn't it? I mean, sure, they've got some good food. They're an organic and whatnot. But everything is, this is sustainable, and we pay African workers a fair wage and blah, 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 blah. So all of these liberal, these champagne socialists, as my buddy Burak calls them, can go to Whole Foods, and it feels like they're doing good. You know, it feels like they're doing charity work by spending an extra $100 on their grocery bill. And this is why most people go, oh, sure. Some people go there because the food is healthier and whatnot, or supposedly. Maybe that makes me feel good, right? Maybe I'm just, I'm susceptible to that as well. But from the standpoint of charity, you guys know what I'm saying. Every single aisle or every single product is that, you know, it's fair treatment. I forgot what they call it. It's not sustainable, but it's, you guys know what they've got a buzzword for it, which basically means that they're not taking advantage of their employees in the chocolate fields of Venezuela or something. It's all just utter nonsense. And again, why do they do this? Because it just makes people feel good. That no one is, in fact, I would argue that 99% of the people that work at Whole Foods don't even want to know the facts behind what impact them buying this coffee brand is making on the workers in Colombia. They don't want to know that. They just want it on the label to make them feel good, like they are making a difference. And that's all that matters. This is the world that we live in today. And how do I know it? Because it's the only way that people would have gone along with this mask mandate that anyone with a common sense of a third grader could see, wait a minute here. You're making me wear a mask, but this guy right next to me hasn't worn a mask in 4 hours because he's been drinking 25 vodka tonics, and somehow that's keeping us safe, and he's being safe and I'm being dangerous by keeping the mask over my nose when I want to take a nap. It's just a total insanity. What frustrates me is the people wanted us to buy into that. Like they wanted us to buy into their insanity and just like go along with it. Anyway. Okay. So let's get to the story at hand and the good news here. The good news, finally, The TSA will not enforce Cerveza sickness mask mandate on planes, public transit after a court ruling, the White House says. And if you're wondering, it is true. If you look at the, in fact, I went to American Airlines' actual website and they confirmed this. So right here, you see United Airlines said in a statement, effective immediately, masks would no longer be required on domestic flights or certain international flights based on the rules of the country they're flying to. Delta Airlines, Alaskan Airlines made similar announcements. Looks like Amtrak, while Amtrak passengers and employees are no longer wear masks, they encourage you to do it, but you're not required to, which means that what would be interesting is to see, I'm actually going to be on a flight in May, I think, in the United States. So I'll be very curious to see what percentage of the plane is actually wearing a mask. If I had to put money on it, I'd say maybe 10%. That's probably what I'm guessing. You guys can tell me if I'm right or wrong if you've flown today, the first day that the rule was implemented. So then they go on to talk about further scariance and yada, yada, yada. So the main thrust of the video here is to let you guys know that these mandates for the time being with the airlines are done. I want to give a huge shout out to someone who predicted this, hit the nail on the head, and that is my good friend Robert Barnes. And he predicted this probably 2 or 3 months ago when I was talking to him, as far as the timeline as to when these mask mandates would kind of go by the wayside. Now, here are some words of caution, let's say. We need to not get too excited about this, although this is great news. Can't get too excited because now Philadelphia has re-implemented their mask mandate. And from what I've heard in the news, New York City is considering re-implementing their mask mandate and also re-implementing the medicine mandate that would require you to not only have the medicine, but to have however many boosters that Voldemort recommends. So I'm sure he's super excited because he hasn't had any play with the media since Russia-Ukraine. So now I'm sure he's just licking his chops and yes, hopefully New York comes back out and then I'll be back in the media telling everyone what the true science, quote unquote, is, because I am the science. And obviously my point there is that there's underlying motives at play here. Just like the last video, just like pretty much every video that we've discussed or that we've had today, that's kind of the underlying theme here is that we've got to pay attention to the motives of these authoritarians and these central planners, because they are not going to just fade away into the background quietly. They want to be in the forefront. They are addicted to that power. They're all sociopaths. So once you look at the world through that lens, it makes sense that Philadelphia is reinstituting the mask mandate. It makes sense that they're talking about doing this in New York. One thing that you've got to understand, and I think this may explain what's going on in China right now in Shanghai with their ridiculous lockdowns, is if we have another spike in the Cerveza sickness, not in the hospitalization, nothing, just even in cases, for the governments in New York and in Philadelphia and in China to do nothing, that would basically mean that they are admitting they were wrong in the first place. Because if you're not doing it for this spike, well, why did you do it for the last spike? And then the politicians are kind of backed up into a corner saying, this time it's different, or maybe even admitting they're wrong. Not that they'd ever do that. But I was talking to, I think it might have been Barnes the other day, and his view was that China has to do this because you're trying to manage 1.5 billion people. That's a lot. And if you get a spike, you've got to take these draconian measures, or else you're, again, admitting that you were wrong in the first place. And if you're wrong about that, then the entire narrative crumbles down and you see what happened with the Soviet Union. You guys have watched my videos. You've studied history. You know that that's how the Soviet Union really crumbled, is all of these areas on the exterior or the periphery, they saw that, hey, this socialism, this communism thing doesn't work. We want capitalism. We want more of a free market. We want more freedom and liberty. And they saw that the communism narrative started to crumble. People started to protest, and it got completely out of hand. And the next thing you know, the entire government comes crashing down. The entire country basically comes crashing down. And you know, obviously the Chinese government sees that. Okay, how do we avoid that at all costs? Well, we have to make it seem as though we are always right. And if we don't lock down due to the Omicron scariant, then the people might believe that we were incorrect in the first place. And then you get the fall of the Soviet Union. That's probably how they're, you know, connecting the dots. That theory made a lot of sense to me. And I think it maybe at a smaller level, it's happening in New York City and in Philly. You know, these politicians, I would assume same politicians that pushed this in the first place, you know, how would they justify that if you get a big spike and they don't do it again? So it's like the population is just a victim to their narcissism. It's the population is a victim to them having to be correct to further their political career. And you've got a group that's the victims, the rebel capitalists, the people that have taken the red pill, let's say. And then you've got the Senator Simons, you guys watched my video earlier, or basically the sheeple that just buy everything that CNN says, just hook, line, and sinker. You've got those people that say, oh my gosh, another spike in cases? Oh, we need to lock down. We need to medicine mandates. Let's do everything. You know, zero COVID policy. I hate it when China does it, but we need to do it. And that's another thing that I think is really kind of a truth serum, right? That the media is pointing the finger at China, and not that the lockdowns are identical. I'm not saying that, but the philosophy is pretty much the same. The concept is the same, where they're looking at China and saying, oh, look at how bad those lockdowns are from a humanitarian standpoint. But when we do them, well, we're just following the science. It's just, the more you analyze the news on a daily basis, like I have been doing, the more you realize what a clown world we are living in right now. Hey guys, I want to remind you to check out Rebel Capitalist Pro. This is the incredible online investment forum that I have with investment experts Lynn Alden and Chris McIntosh. It includes professionals such as Patrick Serezna from Macro Voices. He specializes in options. Tony Greer, commodity trading. Jason Hartman, real estate. And Brent Johnson with macro economics. If you want to build wealth and thrive in this world of out of control central banks and big governments, Rebel Capitalist Pro is the resource you need. So check it out today at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. We'll see you inside with the fellow Rebel Capitalists that are taking their investing to the next level. You know, one thing that really angers me is so many people in our population are susceptible to really being getting emotionally caught up in what's going on, to a point where I think it could really damages their lives right now, but I think it will damage them into the future. Let me tell you a quick story. A very good friend of mine was in town this weekend visiting. And this friend of mine, they sometimes like to wear a mask indoors. And, you know, we've been friends forever. So, I just asked them in a non-condescending way or in a respectful way. I said, what's your end game there? Because as you guys know from watching my videos, that's something I'm fascinated by. I just really want to honestly ask that question to people who are still wearing masks. It's like, what's your end game? Because we're never going to get rid of the cervical sickness, ever, ever. We're not going to eradicate it, most likely. Now, we could come out with some, who knows, some cure, but most likely it's going to be like influenza that we just have to live with it. And if you look at the data, you know that, okay, well, that's not great, but at least we're dealing with the latest scariant, which is not horrible. You know, it's not brain cancer, for heaven's sakes. And so if it's never going to change, what would be the catalyst for you not wearing a mask? Or is your game plan just to wear a mask forever? Or have you not even thought about it? My base case was that most of those people haven't even thought about it. They haven't even given it a thought. For them, they would say, well, I'm just going to wait until the cervasis sickness is over, not realizing that it's never going to be over because they haven't done the research. Because remember what the media told us, if you do your own research, that's dangerous. You just need to listen to the CNNs and the Voldemorts and the Walensky's of the world. But when I asked this person, you know, what's your end game there? They said, you know, I get it. I realize that the cervasis sickness is going to be here forever. I totally understand that. But for me, it's like I got in the habit of doing this for 10 years. So it's a little bit like PTSD, if that's the right acronym, where if I don't do it, it makes me a little anxious. And sometimes I get a little anxious, and then so I put it on. Sometimes I'm not anxious at all, so I kind of forget about it. And they're like, you know, what I'm trying to do is just get rid of this kind of anxiety. So hopefully, you know, in a year or 6 months or a month or whatever, I won't really get the anxiety. So I'll just be, forget it. I don't want to deal with it because I know it's in my head. And, you know, first of all, I really appreciated their honesty. And I never, ever thought about it from that standpoint. But it dawned on me how influential the media was and the central planners. And they are literally responsible for, at the very least, causing a epic level of stress in the general population unnecessarily, that will negatively impact them potentially for years to come. And I would go so far as to say that potentially they have created mental illness in a large percentage of the population. I'm not saying this was applicable to my friend, but in a lot of people, they have, think about all the hypochondriacs they have created. I mean, look at all the, I mean, this person, I've talked to friends of mine that have kids that, you know, the teachers and everything made them wear masks, and they got the kids so freaked out that now the kids, even though they don't have to wear them, they wear them anyway. Because teachers been telling me this for 2 years, and in their mind, you know, of a 6-year-old or a 7-year-old, they can't differentiate between what the teacher is saying and what's real. And therefore, if I had to do it for 2 years, if that's what kept me safe, why won't this keep me safe in the future? You see, and what absolutely disgusts me is that none of the central planners, none of the Walensky's, none of the Voldemorts, none of the politicians will be held accountable for this. And I think it is tragic. They have negatively impacted society at a level to which, in my lifetime, I have never seen in the United States. I mean, we could have I don't want to go so far as to say we could have a civil war and it would have the same impact, the same negative impact. I don't want to go to that extreme. But, you know, we could have, I would argue, potentially, that what they're doing is just long-term is going to have just as much of a negative impact on society as the cervasis sickness itself. In the standpoint of, with the lockdowns, think of all the additional death that was created. And you could say, oh, well, that's nowhere near what happened with the surveys. Okay, granted, initially, but think of all the mental illness it created. Think of all the drug addicts. Think of all the alcoholics it created. And think of all the people like my friend that have this anxiety for no, and they know that it's irrational. But it was brought on because every single day in the media, they see the ticker, you know, on CNN, and they get jammed down their throats constantly. Fear this, fear the cerveza sickness, fear. And now they've done the research and they know that that was an irrational fear, but they can't get over it. And none of these people that are responsible for that psychological devastation on society are going to be held accountable. And that's what makes me absolutely sick. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism, and critical thinking. See you in the next video.